Welcome to Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Villain. This is our special segment. It's going to be called Eyes on the Storm, where we delve into the remarkable story of Kate Nicola and her harrowing experience during Hurricane Helene. As one of the most powerful storms to hit the region in over 100 years, Helene brought fierce winds, torrential rain, and devastating surges that tested the resolve of everyone in its path. In this segment, we'll explore Kay's journey from preparation to survival, highlighting her courage, quick thinking, and resilience in the face of nature's fury. Through firsthand accounts and expert insights, we'll unravel the impact of Hurricane Helene on the four major states that it passed through as a Category 4 hurricane. We'll discuss the importance of preparedness and reflect on the human spirit's ability to overcome adversity. So sit back, relax, keep your feet grounded. You've just entered the Let Me Take You Higher podcast zone, special Hurricane Helene edition. Today we have our special guest, Kay Nicola. You may know her from her Hollywood Minute on our show, who recently moved back to South Carolina. She's here to share her firsthand experience of what it's like to rebuild after such a devastation. Kay, welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
You know, no power. Day 5, night 6.
Yeah. So let's dive right in. Hurricane Helene was a beast. And I know I was watching CNN, the weather reports. Everybody was saying, oh, you guys have to be careful with this one. This one's going to be pretty big. Because when it made its initial landmass into the Florida cauldron, is what I call it, it came in at a Category 4 storm. And guys, if you don't know anything about that, there's five categories of storm. Of course, 5 being the highest. Now, this one hit land at a 4. So, I mean, that's almost devastating, right? So tell me what you've been going through so far, because as you just got back to South Carolina, who and they got hit pretty hard. So what's going on out there?
Yeah, I just moved here a few weeks ago. It was actually my first time moving here. My mom was here, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be here for better. So definitely, like, you know, you go somewhere for your first time, and then it's just like you go through a catastrophic experience. Obviously, we didn't get the worst of it, but, like, everyone that I have met and talked to that is from here and has lived in South Carolina for most of their life or a good portion of it has told me they never seen anything like this. And I don't. And many people from the area and surrounding areas have said, I don't think anyone could have prepared for a storm like this.
No, I mean, and they did a decent job having, I mean, I looked at some place, and I know that I'm just talking about Florida, Florida's governor, and, you know, I'm not really into DeSantis, but he did a good preparation for his state. He had electrical trucks lined up, power line trucks lined up, EMS trucks lined up. He had the hospitals on standby. I mean, the guy did a lot. And
that's what you would think.
Yeah.
With, like, everyone thought, I think, Florida and Georgia, or I think Alabama was going to get hit the worst.
Right.
Not Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, like, so far away. Like,
it's crazy. North Carolina actually got the worst of it. Yeah. It's the farthest away from everything. And I didn't even see that turn in. And then they're telling us that, like, when it went down, it was still 150 mile per hour winds. They say there's an estimated $10 billion in damages just from this particular storm, and those numbers are staggering. But
150 now, I read somewhere. 150 billion.
150 billion. Wow, that's crazy. So, I mean, you being on the ground, how did it feel to witness such a destruction in your own backyard?
Well, it just felt like a whole movie, and it still feels like a movie. Still just processing, like,
I know it is crazy. I'll tell you, if mine was a little different, I was in Jamaica in like 2004, and we went through a hurricane. It was Hurricane Ivan, and Hurricane Ivan whipped through Jamaica. I mean, it was crazy, total devastation. We just stayed inside because where we were staying was like a fortress. It was like a concrete fortress. But here you guys are, you're out in the rules, where there is, like, the woodlands, there's wild animals. I mean, have you seen anything like that? Like, wild animals rushing to the home or anything crazy?
I think the storm, like, lifted snakes and scattered them around.
Oh, my gosh.
So there's snakes in the area. I saw dead snake, like a black one.
Ew.
So because I'm in the woods area, snakes are more common here.
Yeah.
Too, and just, like, I got bit by a black widow and had to, like, go straight to the ER. That's when I went to the hospital.
Oh, goodness.
It was, like, the night, and it was, like, the day after of, like, the hurricane, and I just was, like, you know, there's still a mark from it. It instantly was bruising and, like, it was just, like, really...
Well, yeah, I mean, just like you said...
For it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was a first, but...
Yeah.
Just seeing people in the ER, so many people hurt. And there were so many paraplegics and people in wheelchairs or people with oxygen in the hospital because they need power, or people on dialysis machines. So just seeing all this stuff, like, there's so much. Like,
but they gave you guys, I mean, I know FEMA's on the ground. I know the president was down there. He's been touring. I know Kamala Harris was touring. Even Trump went down there to make a grandstanding statement on one of the different places. But have you actually been getting help out there with FEMA? Have they helped you? Have they reached out to you?
We are working with FEMA as of today. We went to the Salvation Army earlier. You know, they're getting food truck shipments in from, like, Walmart and stuff, but we have to, like, wait in line or be one of the first so we can get stuff.
Right.
It's slowly getting better compared to the beginning where you walk into the store and there's nothing there.
Right.
You know, there's still some aisles that are like that, like sandwich meat, obviously, or like the basic surviving essentials like batteries, flashlights, you can't find anywhere, or generators.
Yeah.
Well, if you find them, there's a lot of price gouging going on.
Right. Oh, I know. I've heard about this. I mean, now this stuff is crazy because we have a TikTok, and it's, of course, at Let Me Take You Higher TikTok. And on that TikTok, we saw people charging $10 a gallon for gas. Is that what's going on over there?
Certain gas stations, like, you know, the private owned gas stations, and then they're like charging like $6 a bag of ice.
Yeah.
Or like
$6 for a bag of ice?
there's been places, that have been, like, raising prices on ice, like, or just, like, water bottles. It depends exactly where you go.
Right.
This one girl said she paid for, because I'm part of this hurricane group, Hurricane Helene group on Facebook, and this one girl said that she paid $21 for a case of water.
$21 for a case of water?
She did.
You guys know that that's illegal, right? You can report those. Okay.
Gouging.
It's price gouging. That's illegal.
We were going to get a generator the day or two before the storm.
Yeah.
And we all talked, like, you know, I think we'll be fine. We're just overreacting, you know? And it was like, we were looking at like $3,400.
Yeah.
We went all the way to Georgia to try to get this generator. And mm-hmm. you know how much it was, that same generator? $800.
Wow. Are you kidding me? That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like in times like this, mm-hmm. you want to double the prices. Like, you know, because obviously people are going behind on bills if they can't go to work.
Yeah.
And then you're spending more, like.
Mm-hmm. It's like they're taking, of course, there's always going to be a few bad actors. Someone's going to take advantage of somebody else. And you just have to be very careful about it because it's going to be everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So, but let me tell you, the helplessness is palpable there. You know, we often talk about storms in terms of the physical impact, but the emotional and psychological aftermath is often overlooked. What resources or support systems did you find most helpful during the process?
Honestly, I feel like the community was the most helpful. Like,
okay.
And obviously back in like Katrina, we didn't have like the internet or just things weren't the way they were. And like, yes, like power's been out and cell service has been poor, but every time I was able to get on my phone, the community was like, here has water, or here has this, or
oh,
here
that's
has
amazing.
That. Or when you see people in person, I feel like the community and people helped each other the most.
Right.
Like, I feel like that's like the most beautiful thing that comes out of situations like this is like,
oh yeah,
like coming together
for sure. And you know, I mean, and this is a tragic situation, guys, because the death toll now stands at about 165 spread over. Is it over 200 now?
Yeah.
My goodness. And where is it all focused?
I go up every day. Numbers are different or higher. It's like we can't keep up. It's like every day it's something new.
Yeah, I mean, and that's crazy. And that brings me, and that brings us to the role of FEMA. On one hand, they have the resources to help. On the other hand, their response can often feel kind of disjointed. How would you evaluate their efforts during Hurricane Helene so far?
So, I know I've beat around the bush about FEMA sometimes, only because we were...
Well, they are helping.
Well, I know they are, but we personally, I know they're overwhelmed, but we personally, like my mom and step-grandmother specifically, was on the phone with FEMA and waited like an hour to like help with application, and they're talking with the lady for a little bit, mm-hmm. and then the lady hung up, and it's like we got to do that all over it again tomorrow. So
yeah,
we're just like we're honestly just stressing about like the whole application process because so many people at one time are doing it.
Yes, mm-hmm. So, but that's key. You have to put those applications. It really is. Yeah,
I told my neighbor who got part of their roof torn off that like you better save your receipts and show that to FEMA.
You better get your money, get your greens. But I mean, it sounds like you're in really good spirits. I know this has been a super traumatic situation for you. And I hope that it doesn't like kind of blacken your whole feel of being back in South Carolina with your family. How's that going?
I feel like for me, it's a whole, like, it's much more than that. Like it gets like, whether you're spiritual or religious or whatever, it's just deeper within that. Like, because prior, obviously, a few weeks to me moving here,
right.
I had a traumatic Greyhound experience.
Maybe
we could talk about
that. Yeah, let's do that.
Long story short,
okay.
I lost all my luggage in my duffel bag,
mm-hmm.
like, and they already contacted me. They're unable to locate it, and that was already a mess. Like, I lost all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I resonate with also, it's not the same thing, but I resonate with people who actually did lose stuff in their home. And
I know
what it feels like to lose everything, and you just gotta like stay humble. Like,
you really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's it. And that's a situation that is, I mean, you and I have talked about this before with the whole Greyhound situation. And I know you bubbled this all the way up to the transportation secretary, Mr. Steve Buttigieg. And they were able to get back to you with that. I hope that turns out something good in your favor.
Oh,
Yeah,
there's honestly a whole topic I wanted to talk about just about the economy and prices already. Like the stuff with the port,
Yeah.
people going on strike.
Yeah.
Greyhound, how they're pretty much racking in that dough but not investing it into the business, and
Yeah.
they're not treating their customers the best. And
Yeah.
there's just so many businesses, like teachers aren't getting paid well, like.
Yeah, and that's stuff that we've always faced as a nation. We don't take care of our first responders the way we should. We don't take care of our veterans the way we should. Yeah, and that's part of it too. And that's a broader question too, and great topics. But the thought-provoking question that I have with all this, and a lot of people are not going to agree with me. That's completely okay. But with climate change causing storms to grow stronger and more frequent, what do you think communities can do to better prepare themselves for future disasters? Because this is just the cusp of it. And there, we got some stuff coming up. So what do you think that communities can do to be better prepared for stuff like this?
Well, I feel like after this, a lot of people, from what I hear, including us.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, we're gonna get like the solar panel power kit.
Okay.
Generator. We're gonna mm-hmm. get the whole battery.
Get off the grid. Get your own grid.
Think of it as like a survive, like get a tote or something and like, or boxes, and start like a survival kit box.
Yeah.
If you're ever in a situation like this, I honestly think it's something everybody should do.
Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't have took me or a lot of people to go through a situation like this, but I feel like it's something I should be taking lightly, and it's something everybody should do, because whether you're in a blizzard.
Yeah. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I feel like everyone should have a survival kit.
Yes. And I would say, I'll go one step further. Get a 5-gallon tote or something a little bit bigger and collect rainwater. Put it like a liner in it, bag in it, poke holes in the top of it so you know, get insects in it or whatever the case may be. Collect rainwater throughout the year just in case as a backup, and then filter it. Like, you know, with a Brita or something. That's free water.
Mm-hmm. Luckily, we have water. Obviously, it's not hot.
Right.
Power's off. But because it during the day, I find it's when it's warmest because the sun's out.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of more chilly at night. So, like, I'll wash my hair first and then, like, get in the bath and then just, like, wash my body and then get the fuck out.
Or and a smarter thing, if you want to spend a little bit of money, is to get those 5-gallon water jugs. Get about 1 or 4 of them and then save them. And then when you need to cook water, yeah. You just get like one of those, get like one of those little camper stoves that have the butane. You don't have to put, you know, there's no electricity involved. And you can just boil your own water and warm it up to take your bath or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do. Because where you guys are, you are going to be in the path of these storms going forward, just so you know. This isn't going to let up at all. And next year is probably going to be worse, unfortunately. So.
Happens once, it'll happen again.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And just with climate change, they're saying this is gonna actually—they're trying to say catastrophic hurricanes are gonna be more common.
Oh, they will be.
There kind of has been a lot. If you think about it, obviously this is the second since Katrina, but you know, like Harvey, Ida, Andrew, like there's kind of a lot if you just go back together, like Sandy, and I know I was through a few in Corpus when I lived over there. It was hit. You know, Galveston and New Orleans the most, and I honestly thought the storm was going to, like, go more, like, in the southern states, but it's just, honestly, I think everyone's shocked, like, it just came up.
Yeah. But, I mean, they were saying this, and I'm not trying to, you know, pass judgment or whatever the case may be. I know a lot of people want to live in the rural outsides of society, I get it, but they were saying this for about almost 10 days before the storm hit. That they knew this one was going to be a big one. So they were telling people, they weren't demanding because they can't do that, but they were pleading with people not to stay. Please leave, leave, leave. And
my mom, we actually, the only place we could have gone to is the Army base in North Carolina.
Right.
But honestly, I'm kind of happy we didn't, because we kind of would have been stuck on base longer or like, because I'm not sure entirely what the situation is going on right now, but I know it's just been hectic with National Guard there and here and other states. So at least the National Guard has been helping from what I've saw the past few days and stuff like that. So
okay, well, let's shift gears a bit. For those who may not know or who may not be aware, can you share with the audience immediate steps individuals should take when a hurricane is forecasted by your local weatherman?
So from what I have gathered, a hurricane can drastically change. Like, obviously, for this one example, it went to category four storm within 48 hours. Mm-hmm. So, like, pretty much if you see a hurricane and it says it's going to come to your direction or a surrounding area,
mm-hmm.
always be stocked up. Make sure you have some water, batteries.
MREs, ready them. Mm-hmm.
Coolers,
ice.
Generator.
Yep.
Generator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if I've heard the word generator, but I really, because I mean, you know, I don't know what the fuck generator really
is. Gives you power. Yeah. Now remember, guys, if you're gonna go the generator route, and I would tell you, if you're gonna be in the eyes of the storm, don't do gas and don't put it in your house. People make that mistake and people die.
It actually happened earlier this week. The house blew up, or the garage.
Yeah.
Gas generator.
And not just that, carbon dioxide. The thing, it has to exhaust out, just like a car. Yeah, and you could be asleep, and you go to sleep, and you won't wake up. I guarantee it. Unfortunately. But I mean, there are things you really have to know when you're working with generators. But that is an absolute wise advice. But now let's talk about the long road to recovery. Estimates suggest that every dollar spent on mitigation saves communities $6 in future disaster costs. What are your thoughts on this? Like, so for every dollar you spend on getting stuff situated, it costs you more in a later run. But is it worth it to you? Do you think? Should you really be doing that in the early stages of...
Yes. Okay. Yes, because you're going to end up spending more in the end. We probably spent about $50 on ice already, and it hasn't even... It's a week Saturday. Yeah. Yeah, because we got to keep our coolers and freezers, all that food, you know, that's so much money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, we don't, you know, my mom's just a mom, you know, and, you know, my step-grandma, mother here, they like to make sure we always stocked up.
Yeah.
You know?
Which is good, because
like,
they know.
But they weren't prepared for, like, to break down, so they're like, oh my God, all our food, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
oh, that's crazy. And when you're out there on the ground, do you see destruction everywhere you look? Like, are there houses broken up? I've seen videos where their complete roads have been torn off of their foundations. Are you seeing stuff like that too?
Not roads ripped off.
Okay.
I've seen roofs off, trees on houses, power lines everywhere, just everywhere, like big giant trees with roots torn out of the ground. Like, when I see massive trees ripped out by the root, like massive trees. And I was with my mom to get my stepdad from work, who works an hour away, which is more headed towards North Carolina. And when I say there's this big giant tree on someone's house, just chilling there, it was like, So I've just been seeing a lot of damage. Like, you can't go a mile without seeing something that happened from the hurricane, pretty much.
Like, so it's pervasive. Like, it's like everywhere then, right?
Yeah, I've been seeing something new every day. And then, I mean, people aren't acting as crazy as they were from the first couple of days. Like, oh, like it's the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The day after the hurricane, everyone was driving around. There was no power in like the whole state or this whole Midland of South Carolina.
Okay.
And everyone's driving everywhere. And, you know, if it wasn't for the like internet and the groups and people being connected, stop driving everywhere.
Yeah.
Shut down. You're going to waste your gas. Everyone's just going nuts. Gas stations were open. Nothing was open.
That's horrible. It's so horrible.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
No one knew what to fucking do. I don't know. People were.
But they were just going crazy then.
Well, they had to have police at like McDonald's.
Okay.
Or, like, at posted up at like gas stations and Walmart.
Right.
Stuff, because people are running up in there trying to steal things.
Yeah. Look, people take advantage. They take advantage when something like this goes down. People will do what they got to do and take what they got to do and just go. They just go stealing M&Ms. I mean, you can't live off M&Ms. Put those M&Ms down. This is crazy. You know what I mean? Shit. But well, Kay, we are so happy that you're safe. We're really, really ecstatic about it, because you were in the eye of one of the most powerful hurricanes that has hit in the last 100 years. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. And yeah, how do you feel about that? I mean, you're a part of history now, because people always ask me like, where were you in 2004? I know it off the bat. I was in Jamaica and Hurricane Ivan, and now people ask you the same thing. Where were you in 2024? And what will you tell them?
I've been having so many people already message and ask me, but I'm still processing it because the aftermath is still happening.
Yeah.
It's like not over yet, you know, because it takes time to rebuild up. And I'm definitely not the same person after this alone. Oh. It's a life-changing experience. But I'm a firm believer everything happens for a reason and everyone's put in situations for a reason. And,
right.
You know.
So do you think this situation has grown you as a person? Has humbled your character?
Yes.
Okay.
So, sorry. I mean, I have my moments where I'm like, ugh, like, but at the same time, I feel like I've spent a lot of time sitting around and like,
yeah,
just processing everything. And just in my life in general, I've had a lot of time to just think and reflect. And mm-hmm. actually, the last time I had a real social media break and a break from like,
yeah, because you haven't. I don't think I've seen you on the socials. And you can also, guys, if you
check up like once a day, and then I have to log right back off. Yeah.
Well, and I just want everyone to know who's listening out there that if you want to help Kay, her family, they are in South Carolina. I mean, this hurricane it's huge, and you guys can see it all over the media. Kay's probably going to start a GoFundMe, and she's also going to give some of those proceeds, of course, to her community. So if you want to do that, we'll put the link in our bio, how you can help Kay and help the South Carolina residents rebuild after one of the greatest storms over 100 years. And Kay, I just want to tell you, man, I'm so, like I said, the audience knows you from your Hollywood Minute that you do for the show and from your Indigenous Women Lost episode, which is a huge episode for us. And guys, if you haven't heard about that episode, you should check it out. It's the number 2 or number 3 on our podcast platform. So check that out. But okay, you shared go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Let me interrupt you because November is Native American Heritage Month.
So. Yes. And please.
So we might have some more things to talk about in the future.
Oh, absolutely. This is, I mean, we're definitely going to bring you back on the show, and you're definitely going to do your Hollywood Minute because everybody loves it. And we're definitely going to talk about a lot of different things. I mean, this October is Breast Cancer Month. We'll probably do a podcast on that. And we do appreciate you doing all the special work you're doing for us out there in hurricane torn South Carolina. But let me just let you guys know, and Kay, you shared some powerful insights today. As we wrap up, what final messages do you want to leave our listeners with, especially those affected by hurricanes?
Just always stay humble. You got to remind yourself, mm-hmm. you know, you're here and like, you know, everything happens for a reason, and mm-hmm. just make sure you're not alone and make sure you're prepared and don't give up. And it's really simple. I mean, but for real, though, like, it's the little things and the simple things that really can keep you going sometimes.
Yeah. And it's at the end, guys, remember PTSD, emotional anxiety, all these depression, all these things are so real in today's society, especially when you're faced with something so devastating as a hurricane. So if you need help, please reach out. If you can't find it, you can write to our show. Our email, of course, is letmetakeyouhigherpodcast@gmail.com. And we'll help you find the resources you need. But Kay, thank you again for sharing your experiences and wisdom with us today.
You're welcome.
If you or someone you know has been affected by Hurricane Helene or any other disaster, remember to reach out for help. Visit FEMA at disasterassistance.gov or connect with your local organizations for support. Stay informed, stay resilient, and remember, together we can weather any storm. Until next time, and Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast, stay safe and stay connected. Bye, guys. We appreciate you. And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain. And it's all made possible by BC Entertainment, LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music, LLC, All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment, so don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted. She found her strength. She was ready for